Then Jesse said to David his son, take now, of course, you know, he wasn't there at the moment, take now for your brothers an ephah of this roasted grain and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to your brothers. Bring also these 10 cuts of cheese to the commander of their 1,000, and look into the welfare of your brothers, and bring back news of them. For Saul and they and all the men of Israel are in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. That's an overstatement. They're in the valley of Elah, all right, but they ain't fighting with the Philistines. So David arose early in the morning and left the flock with the keeper and took the supplies and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the circle of the camp while the army was going out in battle array shouting the war cry. So this is the best that they can do in 40 days, go around the camp and shout the war cry. So they sound real tough, but they're not being real tough, are they? Israel and the Philistines drew up in battle array, army against army. Then David left his baggage in the care of the baggage keeper and ran to the battle line and entered in order to greet his brothers. As he was talking with them, behold, the champion, the Philistine from Gath, named Goliath, was coming up from the army of the Philistines, and he spoke these same words, and David heard them. And that was going to change history. When all the men of Israel saw the man, they fled from him and were greatly afraid. They fled from him. And were greatly afraid because, again, all they saw was this imposing fellow. I don't blame them. If I were there that day, I probably would have turned tail and run myself. Can you imagine a 9-foot guy with all this armor on looking as strong as he is? Let me tell you something. I've known some tall people, but I've never seen even anything remotely close to this. I remember being once at a Knicks game in New York. And for the first and only time, somehow we were able to get complimentary tickets on the floor, on the court. Never had it since then. It's always been the nosebleed seats. But this particular occasion, I had the court seats. And when I saw the team get up, and these guys were like mostly 7 feet tall, I guess. Tall, okay? So if I had seen this guy, I would have been terrified. I know I would have been. And these guys were terrified. Okay, so what are you going to do? But in any event, David, he hears these words. And then verse 25, the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who is coming up? Surely he is coming up to defy Israel. And it will be that the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. So they have a bounty now, and they keep upping this thing. Then David spoke to the men who were standing by him, saying, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living Elohim? The people answered him in accord with this word, saying, thus it will be done for the man who kills him. Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger burned against David. And he said, why have you come down? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your insolence and the wickedness of your heart, for you have come down in order to see the battle. Now he's chiding him here, but you know David is serious. But David said, what have I done now? Was it not just a question? Just asking a question. Then he turned away from him to another and said the same thing. And the people answered the same thing as before. When the words which David spoke were heard, they told them to Saul, and he sent for him. David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail on account of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Then Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. Why? Why is he not able? For you are but a youth, while he has been a warrior from his youth. It's just the sight of the eyes, brethren. But David said to Saul, your servant was tending his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went out after him and attacked him and rescued it from his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I seized him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has taunted the armies of the living Elohim. And David said, Yahweh, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. There's the spiritualized. Because he's experienced it before in the field, watching the sheep. And he knows that Yahweh is with him. And Saul said to David, go and may Yahweh be with you. And then we'll just go down a little bit here. He couldn't even put on the armor, of course, because it was just too heavy for him. Verse 40, he took his stick in his hand and chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag which he had, even in his pouch. And his sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. Now I'm told, when I researched this, that the stones were were possibly the size of maybe a little bit larger than a baseball, is how large they were. And it said that someone who was skilled in slinging could sling one of these things at about 100 miles per hour. That'll put quite a knock into you. I mean, you've seen baseballs thrown at 100 miles per hour. Okay, imagine that, but with a rock. Okay, we say stone, but it's a pretty sizable thing. It's not a little pebble that he's using here. And someone who's skilled as he was could sling it at 100 miles per hour. Then the Philistine came on verse 41. Sorry, and approached David with the shield bearer in front of him. I wouldn't have wanted to be the shield bearer.